Wes, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Well, you don't have the dark goatee, so I wasn't sure that was you.
Yeah, you just thought it was a big thumb had come into the war, right?
It is a big thumb. You know, who put that up the other day? Hashtag big thumb. Was that Eric Bam or Tim?
That is Eric Bam. I'm the big thumb. I'm the Ohio chapter president of the Britney Spears fan club and Wesley Vivian Wyatt. So yes, those are all three Eric Bam isms.
Exactly. Well, that's why we always say, oops, you did it again, right?
Is that maybe a that's little, right. That's right.
Britney Spears thing, right? So the key I got to know about this, are you really a Britney Spears fan?
I'm not. Oh, she's a good looking young lady. And she's put out a couple toe tappers, but no, she's not my cup of tea.
Okay, toe tappers. That makes you sound almost old, a toe tapper. Yeah. I like it. That's okay. You know, if you grew your goatee back, I will leave that alone someday once I get used to it. But I almost wonder if it's the gray one, and I'm not seeing you real close, but it's clean shaven again, isn't it? It's gone. There it is. I can see it's gone.
It's clean shaven, and you know, you remember the old boss off of Bewitched? He had almost like a translucent mustache. Larry White, I think, was his name. Yeah. And I feel like I've got that going on, but I need to get a little bit of sun on my face. That goatee's been there for almost 30 years. So, you know, this face hasn't seen the light of day in forever.
Well, that's a good thing. All I got to say is we do these little quick chit chats before we get going with our guests, which we're going to do in about a second and a half here. But it's good that we're doing audio also on all Spotify and Apple and wherever we're going, is because you and I both have faces made for audio, right? So it's a good thing we're doing
that. We do. We have great faces for radio.
We do. And I think it's awesome. So let's yapping and bring on Doug Wing. What do you think?
I think so. And you know, Randy, today I want to let you know something real quick. I saw in my Facebook memories, there was a 12-12-12 post and it said, make today memorable. It was from 10 years ago. And then I saw another post that said there's a festival every year that where in Nepal, they parade the dogs through the street and they honor them and let them know, you know, how much they love them and whatnot. And in the pre-show, when we were kind of offline talking to Doug, he was talking about how his dad, you know, was such a giver behind the scenes. And now it just seems like people don't want to give and do things, except this time of year and maybe at Thanksgiving, there's always like a camera, you know, look what I'm doing. I'm giving this person a coat, or I'm giving them money, or, you know, I'm paying for their groceries. And to know that his dad went through and did all this stuff behind the scenes and he's hearing about it way after his death is just so magical. So I want you guys to really internalize the stuff that Doug talks about his dad and about Doug, because Doug's a go-giver himself, and just not make it a day or a season. Do it every day.
Beautiful. Well said, my friend. Well said.
Absolutely. Let's get to Doug.
Let's do Doug.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, there he is.
Hello. How are you, Randy?
I'm doing well. I just got down off my little ladder, so I'm ready to go now.
Well, we've talked about doing this for a while, and I'm so excited because I watch your shows. I watch when you do a lot of lives, and it's really exciting to be with you today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, but thank you. It was very nice. So you read that just like I wrote it. Well done. but it is great, and I'm glad we finally got to do it, because we had a scheduled back, I don't know, a few months ago, and I think you ended up in the Philippines or someplace, and so I'm just glad we got it worked back into our schedule. So welcome.
Hey, thank you so much. It's really exciting to, again, to be on your show and to just talk about winning and helping and giving and serving and all kinds of good stuff.
It is. And, you know, what you just said, it really, I'm glad you brought that up, because I have people sometimes, the Building Wins Live name, and we came up with that show name, As you know, I'm generally, not generally speaking, I'm in the building materials business. That's what I do. I'm a rep. We have a rep agency. We rep numerous manufacturers in 15, 18 states around the country. So building just made sense because that's sort of maybe my semi-target audience, even though we've expanded that to whomever. But so building made sense, but building wins is a term I say a lot and I talk a lot about because, but my point of all this, and I'd love to hear your take on this is, because you kind of just hit on it, is it's not just building wins as in I'm going to sell a bunch and make a lot of money. That, I mean, that's part of what we do, but wins are wins regardless, right? If you're building wins, whether it's spiritually, health and fitness, personal, business, all wins compound with each other, right? And as long as you're building wins, you're building a good life, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up with this incredible dad, Hal Wing. And one thing about him was that he not only, he enjoyed winning and everything, but he also enjoyed helping other people win and watching them grow. He was such a builder. I always say my dad was a builder of people. In fact, when my dad passed away, the governor of Utah, Gary Herbert, said Hal Wing used to tell people he was in the ladder business, but that wasn't true. He goes, he was in the people business. And so I think my dad was really, really good at that, at looking at people, seeing their talents, their abilities, and putting them in the right spots, and then helping them, mentor them, watching them grow. He even took a lot of people that other companies wouldn't, people that, you know, maybe were ex-convicts and things like that. So he gave a lot of people opportunities and chances, a lot of underdogs and things like that, mm-hmm. people that were kind of down on their luck. And he was incredible.
Yeah, that's super wind building right there, isn't it?
There's a little quote on the, that's actually a plaque that's on the building, a little giant building in Utah, that says, if you concentrate on building the business and not the man, you will not achieve. But if you concentrate on building the man, you achieve both. And so, my dad was a builder of people, and they in turn helped him build an incredible company. 400 plus employees there at the end, and he was just really, really good at that.
That's awesome. So great segue. Tell us about the company a little bit. Little Giant Ladder Company, right?
Little Giant Ladders, yeah, a company that started 50 years ago.
Wow.
My dad was a very successful salesman, and we were living in Germany. I was probably 8 years old. And my dad was selling life insurance, and the company that he was working for, since my dad was bilingual, he spoke German and English, he opened up an office in Germany. And when he was there, his partner, business partner, saw the original Little Giant Ladder, got excited about it, and kept trying to talk to my dad about it. My dad said, Richard, we're not interested in, I'm not interested in ladders, we're selling insurance. Kept working on my father. Eventually, my father saw the ladder, got excited, and quit his job and went into the ladder business.
Wow. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's kind of how it started. And then, what happened was he ended up buying a whole container full of ladders from Europe, and they shipped them over. And then my dad didn't know how to sell these ladders. I mean, you've probably seen the infomercials and seen them around. And so he developed a demonstration and started going around to state fairs and trade shows and home and garden shows. And, we got to where we were doing probably 400 or 500 of those shows a year, and then went into infomercials and got into retail, and just the company went crazy. So there's a lot of, interesting stories along the way. The company had, lots of ebbs and flows, ups and downs. We almost lost the company a few times, but, in the end, it was successful because he never gave up. And that's just really quick little, history of the company. But
well, that's awesome. So you spent a year or two at the company yourself, didn't you?
Yeah. One of the things that's really interesting is I started working there when I was 10 years old. And so I worked there for 47 years, the same company my entire career. And people say, what was that like? And I said, I was great. But because I had this unbelievable mentor in my father, and he was really smart. He had a start of course we were kids. And my brother always jokes and says, yeah, our dad took advantage of us. It was child labor laws and all this stuff. But one thing that was really good about my dad is he had us learn every part of the company. And I think that what that does, it does two things for you. One is that it helps you to understand the entire business when you get up and you start running the company. As we got older, and the other thing is you have an appreciation for your employees, what they do every day and the hard work they put in. And so it really helped to do that and to learn. And it wasn't easy, but it was really, really a good experience, and I enjoyed it very much.
So when you the company sold a few years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long has that been now? 2-3 years?
2019.
Oh, okay. Okay. So at the end, you were a co-owner and vice chair, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Co-owner of the company, vice chairman. The one thing that was really, people say, why did you sell the company? We were second generation and, really there wasn't, I mean, I have a son, my brother has a son, but they just didn't have the interest that we had. It wasn't going to work out as far as, you know, the third generation taking the company and running with it. And so we decided we would, end up selling the business.
Perfect. Perfect. So, and you, are a best-selling author, are you not?
Well, that's an interesting story as well, because I had no idea I was ever going to be an author. And people say, how did you write a book? And I'll tell you how that happened was when my father passed away, we were cleaning out his house and I found this manuscript and I was like, whoa, he had actually started to write a book. And it was called Ladders I Have Climbed. Mm-hmm. It was probably, you know, maybe an inch and a half thick. And so it was kind of some rough chapters and he'd interviewed a few people and things like that. But I went to my siblings and I said, you know, do you guys want this? And they said, oh, we're just going to throw it away. So for some reason, I thought, I want to keep this. And I took it home. And that literally sat on my desk in my office at my house for probably 6-7 years.
Wow.
Every time I would look at it, I would think, man, you know, that I should do something with that. You know, it's got some really good information in it. And then just my experience with my dad and the things he went through and the things we learned from him and just what kind of a boss he was. And then I had a good friend named Jeffrey Gittimer, who's written, 18 books. He's written mm-hmm. the number one sales book in the history of the world. And I was visiting with him one time and I was telling him these stories about my life and the company. And he looked at me and he goes, you really need to write this book. It's going to be a best-selling book. And I just laughed at him. I kind of laughed. And he said, you think I'm kidding? And I said, well, I don't know. And he said, write the book. So he helped me and Ken Walls helped me and some other people helped me. And remember, this was during COVID that I wrote this book and I'd never written a book before. I wasn't very smart in school. But I had some good friends that kind of guided me along the way. And I dropped the ball a couple of times and eventually a year and a half later, I finished the book and Jeffrey Gittimer was like a prophet. I mean, it happened. Yeah. You know? The book came out, it went immediately to number one on Amazon. And I say the reason why it did was not anything that I did. It's because of the stories in there, the man that Hal Wing was, and that this book actually teaches you how to work with people, how to, you know, treat your employees, how to just be good to people and help build people, and has some incredible stories about Hal Wing and his giving. And I learned all these. And the nice thing about it is I interviewed 39 people for the book and I learned so much more about my dad that I never knew. And one of the things I learned was he was this huge philanthropist and giver. And we didn't know about it. We never knew about it. And really? We found out about it when he passed and I did all these interviews. There's some incredible stories. I mean, we were standing in the funeral line at the funeral home and this little lady probably in her 80s walked up and said, I was homeless and your dad bought me a house. We had no idea. And she says, I was on the streets, you know, and incredible. There's some incredible stories like that.
That is awesome. And the title is Giant Success, which says it all, right? In so many ways, because I think we talked about briefly with Wes off camera, wins and success is more than just the business part of the success, right? Obviously, the company was very successful, ups and downs, which all companies typically have, but mm-hmm. but a successful company. But it, the things that you learned about your dad and that you write about in the book, which is a great book, by the way. People, if you're so kind to allow me, I will recommend that in my little weekly book recommendation series I'm starting to work on. But it's a great book. Read it on Kindle and enjoyed it very much. And like you said, it's a book about business, but that's such a small part, really. It's mm-hmm. a book about just, like you said, like the book title says, giant success, building wins, being a winner in all aspects of life. And that's the thing that I really got out of that is you did a great job of telling us who your dad was, because I had never heard the name Hal Wing. I've heard of the latter company, right? But I've never heard his name until you wrote the book, to be brutally honest. So thank you for bringing that to us, because it is a story that people need to read.
Yeah, it's, you know, the one thing about Hal Wing was is that he had this unbelievable self-confidence. And that's one thing that we learned as well, is that, you know, if you put enough effort into it and you work hard, you can be a success, even though you're going to have some ups and downs. And then his integrity was just incredible. He never took advantage of anyone. And he always, you know, he had a little saying that says, hey, if it's not a good deal for all of us around the table, then it's not a good deal. I mean, when we were meeting with bankers, with distributors, with suppliers, he was so fair, and, you know, he wouldn't take advantage of people, and people just loved working with him because he was so easy to work with. And he wanted everyone to make a profit and not just himself. So yeah, it was very refreshing to have that kind of not only a father, but, you know, as a business mentor that you could,
right.
That you could work with. And he used to tell the salesman in meetings all the time, he'd walk in. One of my favorite lines he had was, you can tell the customer anything you want to, as long as it's the truth. And he was just great. I mean, from the very beginning, when he started Little Giant, these two owners of Werner Ladder Company, the biggest ladder company in the world, the two brothers that own it, they walked up to my dad at a trade show and they laughed in his face and said, Hal Wing, you are a fool. You are going to fail. You might as well give up. There's no way that you're ever going to sell this ladder. We could have had this ladder years ago. And he proved him wrong. In fact, one of those brothers, I remember a couple of years before I retired, he walked up to me at a show in your neck of the woods in Florida, where he now lives, West Palm Beach area. And he walked up to me and he goes, I have the utmost respect for your father. He goes, we never thought he'd make it, but he says he proved us all wrong. And then he said this, he goes, I will deny it to anyone else, but he goes, if you come to my house, there's one ladder I have in my house, and it's a Little Giant.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
This was one of the owners of Werner Ladder. It was just incredible.
That's
great.
Funny.
Really nice guy. Paid my dad a lot of compliments. Yeah,
that's awesome. So, you know, I assume in the workplace or not, I would, if you don't mind, I feel like you're pretty open book. There's always that. And I worked with my father early on in the construction world and that. And there's the yin and the yang to that, right? You know, it's the goods and the bads, because it's dad and, you know, you don't know anything sometimes. And I feel like you're picking on me and, you know, all those father-son things, maybe early. How was that with your dad? How was it growing up working, well, under him, for him, and then eventually with him, I guess, right?
Yeah, the one thing about my dad is, just because you had the same last name as him and you were related to him, he did not cut you any slack. And okay. I remember one time, I think this is in the book, the story, I'm pretty sure it is. I remember one time I got married. I had just, you know, I was living in an apartment, going to school, kind of, you know, working for him. And, you know, how you are when you're going to college, you're poor as a church mouse. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I mean, no money. And my wife and I, we wanted to get a new house and we were saving. And I remember I walked into my dad's office and I made a big mistake. I said, I want a raise. I want more money, something like that. And my dad, just keep in mind, this is my father. He looks at me and he goes, well, he looked right at me and he goes, you're not worth any more money to me. I was like, whoa, my dad, you know, I mean, wow. I was like, at first I was taken a little back by it. And he goes, what you need to do is, you need to get your college degree or do something else. And he said, my dad goes, I have an opportunity for you. Now, keep in mind, I'm going to school, I'm working, I'm newly married. And my dad says, hey, our custodians just quit. And so if you and your wife want to come in after work or before work and clean all the offices, this is how much it pays. And you guys can, I think you guys can probably swing your new house. So I did that. My wife and I did that for probably 4 or 5 years. And we were working two jobs, going to school, newly married, and we were able to get this new house. But then looking back on it later, I thought, man, I just respected my dad so much more. Of course he could have said, okay, here, you get so much more a month.
Right.
Very smart guy. And he just didn't hand it to us. Now, the second time I wanted to get more money, I learned from that. I went to my dad and I said, I want to be able to earn more money in the company. What can I do? See, I changed because he taught me a lesson. What can I do to earn more money, to be more valuable to the company? And he goes, well, all the money's in sales. He goes, if you want to go into sales, he goes, you're going to be away from your family probably half the month. But he says, the sales guys make the most money because they're traveling. So I went into sales and that was where the money was. And I learned so much, you know, working with customers and new customers and all that. And I was able to do even better in the company. And so I was very grateful that just because my last name was Wing. In fact, my dad said, just because your name's the same as mine, you're probably gonna have to work 2 or 3 times harder than everybody else. So he was great that way.
That's awesome. So I think being in sales, let's talk about that, because that's kind of my world with owning a rep agency. And I've been a old school road warrior for a million years, and then kind of converting over the last 2 or 3 years into maybe a little more hybrid approach. What have you learned in the last? Now I know you've been out of the business now for a little bit, but what are you seeing that's different today? Because a lot of the concepts are the same. I mean, selling to me is what you talked about already: doing the right things, always winning, everybody wins, I should say, together. Do you see a big change in today's salesperson versus maybe when you started a year, 2 or 3 or 4 ago?
Well, I think the things that are different today is that, you know, we have a lot more technology than when I first started. You know, everybody has smartphones and tablets and computers and all of that, those things. And so the technology has really, I'm sure, made sales very interesting. And that means, you know, we have more information. We can get presentations and quotes to people faster. But I think what I have learned from being in sales for many, many years, what I tried to do was really be a good listener. And most salesmen just want to talk. And so I learned that by listening to what the customer really needs and then supplying those things that they need and developing relationships with people really was the key. Little Giant, we were probably double the price of our competitors. You know, we were the original product made in America. And, you know, people, as soon as you have something good, of course, people are going to try to knock it off. They come out of China. And so one thing that Little Giant was really good at was quality and also innovation. And so I knew we had the best products, and I tried very hard to be a great listener and to provide the things that my customers wanted, and to do it very quickly, efficiently, and then to develop those relationships. In fact, I have so many customers that I did business with that I'm still friends with to this day. They're retired from their companies, I'm retired from mine, but yet we're still very, very good friends and communicate weekly with some of them. And so I think that's the key, is the relationships, of course, always telling the truth, being a good listener, and then providing value and quality. And that's what I tried to do.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some excellent points there. And I found that even, because I go back to the day in my old school road warrior days, talking about how old I am again, but with the pay phone, and for all the young listeners, that was that antiquated thing on a little pole outside of a road someplace, right? Yeah. And you'd pull up, winter, the cord's too small to get it fully inside the car, so you're hanging out half the window, right? And it's all iced, and you're plugging in 7,000 numbers trying to call this person, only to find out that, can you call back in 12 minutes, right? It's like, okay, well, you do this all over again. So, but my point of all this is technology, as you said, has made a lot of what we do quicker, faster, more accurate, and easier. Mm-hmm. But the concept And that's what you just talked about, which I love, is the concept hasn't changed in forever, or it shouldn't change forever. It's still people selling people. And even in the B2B world that I operate in, it's still people serving and working with people, right? It's sometimes I think sales guys make a big mistake with seeing an order number or seeing a customer number and not recognizing that that's not order number SB744, that's Doug Wing, right? He knows you personally. He knows your family. He knows whoever. And I think that, and I love the whole new world that we're living in. I've embraced it and I love it. But I think a mistake can be made if we're not careful, is that we can isolate ourselves even more from the old school way of doing it that works, right? We still got to maintain that. Whether, you know, like for example, today we're doing this here instead of in person. That's okay. But we still have to treat each other with, you know, respect and caring and love and all the words you want to throw at it, right? None of that changes. Am I right?
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I can remember having a pager and calling people would page me, or when I'm going out on sales calls and having those pay phones by car. And I remember without GPSs, we had those big maps that we had maps that would fold out, and then we had those map books. Mm-hmm. You're in downtown Chicago. You're trying to find some place. You've never been there before. And you're calling a guy, hey, where are you at? I can't find you. It's not on the map. You're trying to drive and not kill yourself. Yeah. And you're exactly right. The technology today is great. The one thing that I wish people wouldn't do as much is I noticed that these younger people, they're not speaking on the phone as much as we did. They're texting a lot, which is fine. You can text for some things, but, mm-hmm. but there's something about hearing someone's voice on the phone. And I always enjoyed spending time on the phone with customers. And I think that sometimes a lot of these younger generation are spending too much time just emailing and texting. Like you said, it's nice to have that a little, you know, the conversations on the phone. And even I still think that even though they don't do it as much nowadays, to having that face-to-face meeting, mm-hmm. taking someone out to dinner, getting to know them, their family, their kids, when their birthday is, I always would call my customers on their birthday, send them a birthday card, little things like that, right. That I think, you know, it's the little things that where people go, gosh, you know, this guy, I'm sure he has hundreds of customers and he sent me a birthday card today and gave me a phone call. I think the little things make a big difference when you're talking about customers and getting business from people. And so I think you can have a kind of a mix of the mm-hmm. technology. You need to embrace the technology. But one thing that a lot of my customers told me was, they said, one thing we really loved about you was when we called you and left you a voicemail, or we tried to send you a fax or email, is that you always got back to us very, very quickly. And right. So I think that that's really crucial when dealing with customers as a salesperson, is respond quickly to people
right.
and get them the information they need, and it's going to come back in spades to you.
Exactly. And I've always said, you know, bad news is still better than no news, right? Mm-hmm. If it's bad, sometimes bad even needs to be quicker, because you got to give that customer an opportunity to know, you know, can I remember a scenario, and then I want to move on to your next book. But I remember years ago, I was a sales rep. I was young with this company and we didn't ship windows. And everybody in our company knew we weren't shipping them, except for nobody bothered to tell the customer we weren't shipping them. And the customer's response was, I'm not mad that you didn't ship them. Yeah. Things happen. But I have a transfer truck that goes between branches all the time. Mm-hmm. A simple, I can't ship them till next week because, whatever because is, I don't even care what the because is. I could have just grabbed 3 pallets of windows and had them back here. Now I have to run a truck back 75 miles because nobody could pick the phone up and just say, Hey, Bill, I we had a oops, I'm sorry. Oh, okay, that's fine. I'll just grab someone I'm at another branch. So bad news gives people an opportunity to react, right?
And that's a great point. Yeah. Because there are times when maybe you're backordered on something, or your supplier's short with things you need. And so I think that's great advice is, even if it's bad news, get to people quickly, right? And so that way they can make adjustments. And they're going, oh, these guys are honest. You know, they're
right.
Not only do they respond quickly with the good news, but with the bad news as well. That's a great point.
It is. I think it's important. So let's talk about now that you're a serial author, right? You've got another book out there, The Giver. Let's talk about that for the last few minutes we're together.
Yeah, that's fine. So I was having dinner with Mark Victor Hansen from the famous author that has written so many thousands of books from Chicken Soup for the Soul here in Scottsdale. And we started talking about my dad. He's like, tell me about your life, your father. I tell him all these stories. And he looked at me over dinner, first time I ever met him. And he said, I'd like to sign you to a 3-year publishing contract to write some books with me. And I said, well, what will they be about? And he said, well, I think we could write some really neat books about these different kind of virtue things. Mm-hmm. And they would be fictionalized, though. He goes, they're going to be your stories, but it'll be fictional people, fictional companies, and they will be about really good things. And he goes, the first one is going to be called The Giver. And I was like, wow. So we had another meeting, and he said, tell us some stories. So I told him some stories, and he said, oh, incredible. So we put this book together, fictional names, fictional company, but real stories, true stories. Let me tell you one if you got time.
Okay, I got time. Let's do it.
So, but this one is not in the book. It's going to be in my next book. My next book, I think I'm going to write about integrity.
Okay.
And so it may be the same family and the same company. It may be somebody different. But one of the stories I found out about my father, which blew my mind, is I met with this gentleman named Curtis Bennett. He worked for O.C. Tanner Jewelers Company, and my dad loved jewelry. He just loved jewelry. He was a big watch guy. He loved kind of the bling thing. And and he said, let me tell you, we're doing this interview for the book, Giant Success. And he goes, I'm going to tell you a story that you've never heard before about your father. And I said, great. And he says, your father was sitting in his office at Little Giant Ladders, and a couple came in to see him, and they were destitute. They were down on their luck. They were just about ready to lose everything. They plop a great big suitcase on top of your dad's desk, open it up, and it's full of jewelry. They said, Mr. Wing, we are about ready to lose everything we have. If you'll buy this jewelry, and they laid it all out on his desk, they said, if you'll give us $100,000 for this jewelry right now, you can have this jewelry, and we need the money, and we're just desperate. We need it. Hal Wing looked at that jewelry, and he knew in his mind that that jewelry was worth a lot more than $100,000. And he said to this couple, I think your jewelry is worth more, a lot more than $100,000. Would you allow me to make a phone call to my friend Curtis Bennett at O.C. Tanner? I'd like you to take this jewelry up to him and show it to him and see what he can do. He calls Curtis on the phone. He says, Curtis, this couple has amazing jewelry. Could you help them? Could you look at it? Could you sell it for them? Sure, Hal, sends him up there. Curtis Bennett looks at this jewelry and says, holy cow, this is incredible. Let me sell it for you. It took him 2 years to sell all this jewelry, and he sold it all for $2.5 million.
Wow.
Now, Hal Wing knew exactly what that jewelry was worth, but he had so much integrity, he didn't take advantage of these people. He helped them, right? Okay, helped them. Now, here's the cool story, the real cool story about this part. After this whole, this couple gets their money and they sell all their jewelry, they come back to Hal Wing with a check for $100,000 and said, we want to give you this. And he didn't take the money. So this is one of the stories that I learned about my dad was total integrity, total honesty, and willing to help somebody that needed help. And that was, it's just incredible. So this book, The Giver, I took these stories and we put these. So what happens in this story is this son works with his father. His father gets stage 4 cancer and passes away. The son takes over the business. He was already working there. And after he takes over the company, he finds out all of these experiences. His dad was giving away millions of dollars, helping people, serving them, just helping them in many ways, and nobody knew about it. So the son, at first, has a degree from Wharton. All he cares about is making money. And as the son gets deeper and deeper into the company, his heart begins to change, and he realizes, I mean, he's neglected his kids, his wife. He changes. He has this change in his heart. he begins the transformation from this selfish guy that just wants to make all this money. And at the end of the story, he becomes a giver. And so it's really, really cool because the book takes you through these stories where his heart begins to change and he starts to say, wait a minute, this isn't what life is about. It's about helping other people. And that's how the story ends, where he goes to the funeral or to the grave, to the cemetery one day after this whole experience. And he has a little talk with his dad and he says, Dad, I learned so much from you. I've changed and I hope you're proud of me and I love you. And that's the end of the book. And it's so cool.
That is awesome. That's a great story. And it's great that you're able to put that out, because it continues to not only do so much good for people that need to hear that and see that, it's just another way to honor your dad. Right.
When I first met with Mark Victor Hansen, he said, coming out of COVID, he said, this book is what the world needs. People need to know. We need more giving, you know, more loving, more kindness, more generosity, more, you know, all of these things. And so, especially this time of year, you know, the Christmas season, this book is great because it teaches everyone we can all be givers. And you don't have to have millions of dollars. You can give your time. You can go serve in homeless shelters. You know, there's a lot of different things you can do. You can go visit neighbors, the people that are lonely and things like that. People who, you know, the other day I went over and we visited in our church. One night we visited these two widows and we took them a little Christmas present. And I gave both of these widows a giver book. And a week later, Sunday, yesterday, I see this one that I gave her the book. And she says, I read your book and I loved it. And she said, I loved your visit. And then she looked at me and she goes, Doug, I love you.
Wow.
This is a lady that's 87 years old. And, you know, she goes, I just enjoyed it. And guess what? We brightened her today and left her a little gift. And she was just so delighted. You know, it was wonderful.
Yeah. There's that old statement, right? We never know what anybody's going through, right? And sometimes you might be that little spark of light, that little spark of hope, that little just, you know, the first person in days that's like even acknowledged somebody, right? Mm-hmm. We doing what we all do, we're kind of out there a lot and we got lots of friends and lots of people. So we sort of always know there's somebody that likes us, right? But there's people that don't have any of that, right? And just that kindness.
Yeah, there's so many lonely people right now in the world, you know, especially this time of year. It's hard for a lot of people. They miss their families, their loved ones, their friends. Yeah,
exactly. Well, so Wes is scrolling your website there. So as we kind of wrap up, I appreciate the time. This has been way better than I thought it would be, and I knew it would be outstanding. The best way to get a hold of your books, direct through you on Amazon, either? What's the best way?
If they want a signed copy of, you know, either Giant Success or, you know, The Giver, they can go on to my website and they can get a signed copy. Or, you know, if they don't care about my little signature, they can go to Amazon and get it very quickly. Also, this week, I'll announce it on my website, but Giant Success is going to be on Audible and all of those outlets. This week we'll announce it. It should be in the next day or two. And that is with my own voice. I did that in the studio and that was really a great experience. Yeah. And so you can either go again to dougwing.com if you want it signed, or if you want to go to Amazon and you can get it very quickly. I know that you'll enjoy both of those books and they'll help you.
Yeah. Awesome. Beautiful. Well, Doug, thank you so much for your time. It's greatly appreciated to chat with you. Your story is awesome in itself, and to share that your dad's story with us all is second to none. So I appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Like I said, I follow you on all the social media, and your messages, your daily ones, are always inspirational, and it's been a real honor to be on your show.
Well, the honor's mine, and thank you, my friend. Cheers.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Have a good one. Right. Cheers. Okay. Come on. Doug Wing, buy the books. I've read Giant Success. I'll be reading The Giver probably over the holidays as I'm a little more time at home. is every bit as good as you'd think it is. And if the giver, after what we just listened to, if you don't love that, you don't buy that, I don't know what's wrong with you. Wake up, wake up. Anyways, great conversation as always. Follow Doug Wing on social media if you don't. Watch for the buy both books, buy them both, and buy the new one when he comes out with it. He's a gentleman and a scholar. I always wanted to say that, never said it yet. And but anyways, appreciate him being on. Appreciate all of you for following us everywhere we go, social media wise. And don't forget, we're on audio podcasts, Buzzsprout. You can find us. Just put in Building Wins Live, put in my name, and you'll find us easily. So until the next time, which won't be very long, just a couple things that are always on my mind. You know what they are, right? You got to love what you do and do what you love. If you don't love what you do and do what you love, not saying go quit your job. That'd be dumb. But what you need to do is figure out either, A, is there something I'm missing? Is there something I could do to really love what I do? If not, can you start finding what it is? Because you really need to live life loving what you do and doing what you love. Because you need to live it. You need to love it. You need to own it. And we need to make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Cheers, my friends.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.